We are recording.
Okay. Hello and welcome, everybody. My name is Alex Mondosian, and I'm with Lynn Pierce, and this is the virtual book tour for Breakthrough to Success. The subtitle, or the promise of the book, is 19 Keys to Mastering Every Area of Your Life. Once again, 19 Keys to Mastering Every Area of Your Life, and the part I'm going to challenge Lynn on is every. And ask her how she can make that promise. Now, if you have joined us, it's because you've gone through LynnPierceBookTour.com, LynnPierceBookTour.com. You may be listening live, or you may be listening to the replay, but you've asked her a question about achieving your own breakthrough to success and what your single most important question would be. So that was a worldwide survey that we've had up and will continue to have up, and as the questions come pouring in, this virtual book tour is a result of that survey page. Now, to become super successful, you must learn the secrets of the multimillionaires, and they've been hidden in most accounts. Now, these secrets have been revealed in an easy-to-understand and implement format, and it's in the book. Breakthrough to Success gives you action steps along the way and to guide you to implement what you're learning. And that implementation, and that's the key word today, implementation, will allow you to quickly achieve super success. I'll ask Lynn what super success means because it's different than just success. Now, this journey is one of self-discovery, and it's your personal roadmap to success. It not only tells you what you need to do to become successful, but also gives you the warning signs of self-destructive behavior to look out for, those things that you need to avoid. Sometimes, if you just know what to avoid, you're almost successful by default, and Lynn will probably be covering this today. Now, these secrets are so simple that anyone, no matter what your education or economic level is right now at this very moment, no matter what, it can greatly increase your success in virtually no time at all. And that is on the back cover of the book. We urge you to go to Amazon and get three copies, one for yourself, one for a loved one or a colleague, and one for someone who has given up on breaking through to success. You don't have to convince them. Let Lynn convince them. So go to Amazon and get three copies. I'm going to encourage you to do that throughout this virtual book tour. And what a virtual book tour is, if you haven't experienced one, is like a normal book tour or a book signing. But Lynn is not going from bookstore to bookstore, even though she can do that. She is hosting a teleseminar. And the teleseminar is the one we're on right now, and she is going to be explaining points in the book as well as take and answer questions that have come through LynnPierceBookTour.com. That page will be up and will continue to be up. And the replay to this, if you're already on there, great. And if you're not, it will be up at LynnPierceBookTour.com/replay. And you can go there and, as a courtesy, listen to this over and over and over and over again. Okay, so to begin, Lynn, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Alex.
Now, I want to just cover a few points that are important and you want it covered because your book is all about transparency, and if anyone reads the book, you'll know that Lynn stands for transparency. Not only are you not a college graduate, but you're the first person in your family to graduate from high school. You never had a regular job with a paycheck. You've always been an independent contractor or a commission-based salesperson or self-employed. You've done the opposite of what most people do, and definitely what the opposite of what most women do in the workforce. You have been self-employed and commission-based since day one. Let me just ask you, was that an intentional decision, or did you just fall into that?
I think on some part it was intentional, and day one for me was quite a while ago. I'm 51 years old, so it's not like I just graduated from high school a few years ago. So back then, certainly, I was swimming upstream, going in a different direction than most women were. And the town that I grew up in Wisconsin, going into real estate, there was not even a handful of women in that industry, in that area. It was all men. So I've done many things in my career that have been going against the normal way that things were done, and who normally does them. So I've never had the security that a lot of people have enjoyed with having a regular paycheck coming in. And I think that really helped me to carve out my own path.
And that carving out is a breakthrough, and that really is the topic of your book. And so let's begin at the beginning. What specific incident inspired you to write the book?
Well, when I thought about that, I thought, you know what, there was two things that for me kept showing up over and over, and they were beliefs and lifestyle. And ever since I started going to seminars in 2001, I watched speakers on the stage telling their stories of how they had professional success, a great lifestyle, made a fortune, and then they lost everything. And it almost became a running theme of most of the speakers at that time. And some of them even lost it twice before they figured it out. Then they'd quickly mention that, well, once I started working on myself and my spiritual growth, then I was able to make it and maintain it. And I sat in the audience time after time waiting for someone to talk about that most important part of how you attain success and keep it, but nobody did. And I thought, well, you know, that's not as good a story as how they had it all and lost it and made it back. But then I realized, going back to my years as a sales trainer, that maybe they aren't teaching it because they just stumbled upon it. And as they made their own personal journey, they couldn't really put their finger on exactly how they made it happen, because I was familiar with that from working with salespeople and realizing that many times you're really great at doing something, but totally unable to break it down into a step-by-step process and teach it. And that's something that I'm very good at. So I started observing excellence, and it was pretty much a verification of what I already knew. And it all starts with your beliefs about who you are and what you think you deserve. And when you don't have a solid foundation, you get to a certain point of having more than you deserve, and you sabotage yourself and you crash. Now, the other part, the lifestyle part, for years now, people have been asking me the same question. You have such a great lifestyle. How do you have the time to create all these products and events when it seems like you're always on vacation?
Right.
And I just laugh and I go, well, yeah, I take a lot of vacations. And it's one of those things where it really didn't dawn on me what a challenge it is for most people, because it's always been really easy for me, and it's a very simple answer. I've always designed my life on purpose, going back as far as I can remember, which is back to being a teenager. And a big part of what led me to write this book was that most people don't have a clue how to design their life, at least not the one that they want, because they are designing the life that they have.
Mm. And then as far as that design is concerned and breaking through to the success that they want, a lot of that has to do with self-esteem, and you talk about it in the book. On page 31, for example, anyone who's listening right now, you'll find 7 points that reflect the level of self-esteem. And that would catch anyone's eye. It caught mine. And I'm wondering if what you said about people designing the life that they have now is something to do with this. Anything? What's the relevance of that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And the story that you tell about, well, that you tell yourself about who you are creates the life that you're living today. So for some people, it's the same old story every day and their life doesn't really change. For other people, their story evolves. But your daily decisions are filtered through your self-concept, which is really the outpicturing of your self-esteem, which self-esteem is key number 4. But let me give you those 7 reflections of self-esteem that you were talking about.
Go for it.
And, you know, I'd like to clarify before I tell you what they are that I don't want you to look at any of these from the point of materialistic or keeping up with the Joneses. I want you to reflect on what statements these points make about how you feel about yourself and if they're congruent with who you want to be. So the first thing is what you do for a living certainly is a reflection of your self-esteem. Your friends, whether you're in a relationship and with whom, how much money you make, what kind of house you choose to live in, the car you drive, how you spend your free time, and the vacations that you take or don't take. All of those things together paint a very accurate picture of where your self-esteem is right now. For example, if you're driving an expensive gas-guzzling luxury car that you replace every 2 years with the latest model, and yet you're an environmentalist, is that in alignment with your values and the life you want to have, or would you rather be driving a Prius and take the rest of the money for an extra 2 weeks vacation in Hawaii this year? I mean,
what would you do?
Hey, I'd be going to Hawaii. There's no question.
Okay.
You know,
I want to make sure.
For example, and I've told this to a few people. I said, you know what? There's been a Mercedes convertible on my vision board for I don't know how many years now. There's a part of me that's wanted that car ever since I was in high school, but the reason it continues to be on my vision board is in case someone wants to gift one to me. There is no way in the world that I would spend $100,000 or $150,000 on a car, because that's just not my priority. So this is all extremely personal, and no one can decide what's right except for you. So don't get caught up in what people expect your life to look like if you're successful. It's your life, so do what makes you happy. So, you know, I'm very concerned about the environment, but I don't know if I'm ready to drive a Prius, but I'm not going to spend the money for the Mercedes. So I'll probably end up somewhere in the middle at any given point in my life because of the values that I have and the way I choose to live my life. And I refuse to fall into the trap of, if I want people to see me as successful, I have to live in this house and I have to drive this car. I just think that's, you know, I can't say what I think it is, but I don't believe that. So it's all what you want, and get past worrying about what it looks like on the outside to other people. If it doesn't make you happy, don't do it.
Well, the subtitle of the book, which I would consider the promise of the book, what people will get out of the book, is 19 Keys to Mastering Every Area of Your Life. Two questions. Why 19? And how could you possibly say every area when there's so many areas that people need to master?
Well, if you look in the book, there's a pyramid right after the preface that shows how the 19 keys fit together. And really, it just ended up that it was 19. If I, you know, would have spent more time, I might have been able to get it down to 17. But it just seemed to me that those were the points that needed expression in their own little segment. Some of these keys are longer than others, but they build from the bottom of the pyramid up to the top. And it starts with grounding your life from the inside. It moves on to the outward successes in your life, and then it turns inward again. It's a complete circle of fulfillment. These are the steps to life mastery, and they build on each other like building blocks. I mean, if you look at it like a pyramid in Egypt, they're building blocks that lock together. So as the steps get smaller, as you move closer to the top of the pyramid, they're locked together by the solid foundation that you've built in the keys before them. So as you climb higher, you can do it without fear of getting whipped around in the wind, because you're climbing on rock solid steps. It's all about building the foundation.
Mm. And then that pyramid, do you know what page that's on, so for people can go to that part?
You know, I have a copy of my book right here. It's XXIII.
Yeah. And isn't that the foundation of the book? That
it
pyramid?
It really is, because, you know, the table of contents, I didn't, you know, put it in as chapters or keys or anything like that. They're all just listed there. But I thought it was really important, you know, after the preface talking about, you know, why I did this book and how to use it was to give people a visual representation of what this process is, because it really is a building. And maybe in the back of my mind, I was thinking back to, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where you've got to start at the bottom. And until you have that covered, the rest of those steps are never going to work as well as they should until you master the first one. And you just keep building as you move forward.
Well, let's talk about the heritage of where you learned what you know and where you built the foundation of what you teach now. And talk about your mentors. Who were they, and how do they help build your foundation of knowledge?
Mentors are really important to me. And for the majority of my journey, really until about the last 6 or 7 years, I never had any live in-person mentors. I was on a solitary journey all by myself by reading books and listening to tapes. And I've had many mentors in different areas of my life, and I talk about some of the most prominent ones in the book. My early mentor right out of high school was Wayne Dyer. And I have no idea where I'd be today or what my life would even look like if I hadn't found his books and then a couple of years later discovered his audios and those of Dennis Waitley and Brian Tracy on Nightingale Conan in probably about 81. And I would say that Nightingale Conan literally saved my life and led to me creating a much bigger and better life than I had ever dreamed possible. So don't ever discount listening to audios. In fact, the only way I made it through an abusive relationship back during that time was constantly reading personal growth books and listening to tapes nonstop in my car. There was never a time that there wasn't a Nightingale Conan tape in my car. And I think that's where I learned that all true lasting success starts with the foundation of a healthy self-concept. And too many people waste their time and their money on these sexy magic bullets to make a fortune, when in reality the first step is to invest in becoming more of who you are.
Mm. And who else besides Wayne Dyer? Anybody else come to mind?
You know, later, I would say probably around, I'm thinking 1990, when Tony Robbins came out with his Personal Power 30-Day Series, which also I got through Nightingale Conan. That was kind of a synchronistic thing because I had seen it in the Nightingale Conan, you know, catalog that they mailed to me all the time, and thought about it. And I was going through a really, really difficult time, and I didn't order it. I actually, for the only time in, God, it's been over 25 years now that I've been buying from Nightingale Conan, the one and only time that Nightingale Conan called me, someone called me about that particular program, and I just kind of looked up and said, okay, I get it. And so I ordered it, and doing that series, which I started doing every single year around my birthday after that for a long time, was always a pivotal shift for me going through that. And so Tony Robbins became a big part of what I was listening to in the 90s and just really expanded into a whole series of personal growth, business development, the mind-body connection. I mean, I think you have to really look at the whole big picture of your life, which goes back to mastering every area of your life, because I think the whole thing has to work together or none of it will ever work as well as it could.
Well put. I'll have to tell Vic Conan how much of an impact the company had on you during that time frame.
Hey, I'll do a testimonial for him because literally, I mean, I remember my ex-husband at one point saying that he felt that me listening to those tapes and reading all those books was the only problem we had in our life. Mm-hmm. And I just kept praying, God, get me out of here. And I needed all those guys so bad. I had no other resources in my life except those, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, except those books and tapes. And they literally did save my life.
Well,
I'm totally serious.
You've been very transparent in the book, Lynn. I mentioned that earlier. And you've written some unflattering experiences in your life. We talked about that prior to planning for this call. And, you know, this is a source of vulnerability when you do that and you've decided to do it, starting right up from the front page on page 12, talking about your experiences of being in an abusive relationship in the second key, taking responsibility of your life. I know that one is going to stir up some controversy, but then on page 32, you not only expose an example of self-sabotage in your business, but also in your personal life. Why did you decide to open your life in a way in the book, you know, in that way? Or do you think it was a mistake? Or do you think that was the way that you wanted to do it for this specific book? Because complete strangers are going to be, you know, reading about it and wondering maybe, you know, why does she open herself up like this?
Yeah, that could very well be a mistake that I cover in my next book.
We'll see.
You know, I guess it all depends on the reaction from the readers. And I really wasn't that concerned with strangers reading it. It never really dawned on me until my friends wanted copies of the book. It's like, oh, my God, people I know are going to read all this stuff that I did. But seriously, it did make me a little nervous to put some of those stories in the book when I realized that it cast me in a bad light. But on the other hand, how am I supposed to save other people from making the same mistake if I'm not willing to show the reality of what self-sabotage looks like and how it not only affects your income but your personal life and, most importantly and long-lasting, how it affects your self-esteem? I mean, it's not pretty, but I part the curtain so readers may just see themselves or someone they care about and stop before they head down that road to destruction. Plus, I want people to have hope when they read this. And if they can say to themselves, hey, I'm not as messed up as this, so if Lynn could break through to success, I can sure do it. That is perfectly fine with me.
Well, my business mentor right now says that vulnerability is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness. So according to him and according to what I believe, I think that you expose strength versus weakness. So I hope you do get a lot of feedback on those stories, because you're definitely going to touch people who have experienced abusive relationships, who have experienced self-sabotage. And I can tell you right now, you are not alone. Even the present company, I've self-sabotaged and I've been in not-so-supportive relationships in my past, so I acknowledge you for sharing those stories. What are three things that readers can gain from reading this book? Let's get really specific.
Okay. Before I answer that, I have to say that I don't want readers to dismiss the simplicity of the keys in this book, because I know that for people that have been on any type of personal development path, they could flip through and go, okay, yeah, I understand this. But I purposely took what could be long and complicated concepts and made them simple and easy to understand. And if you're a serious student of success, you may be familiar with a lot of these principles, but I guarantee that doing the work in this book will make a big difference in the level of success you achieve. So, first of all, this isn't a book to read. This is a book to do. And I know that work is a bad word that, you know, when I go out and speak, you're never supposed to talk about work or a workbook or any of that stuff, but the reality is, you got to do the work. And I want to be very clear about that right up front. You may have even noticed in the preface that I don't miss words when I say, I expect you to do the action steps as you read the book. Because if you don't, you'll either bookmark the spot and never finish the book because you never do the action step. Hey, I've got a few of those in my library. Or you'll just keep reading with every intention of coming back and doing all the action steps when you have time, and I've also done that. But neither of these approaches is logical or practical, because if you don't do the work as you go through the book, there's a 99% chance you never will. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to kid yourself by saying, well, yeah, I'm in that 1%. I mean, I'm sitting in my office now, and I'd like all of you to just turn around and look in your office and see how many of those unfinished books you are, and be honest, because if you don't do the work, there's no need to wonder why you're not reaching the level of success that you'd like. So you have to do the work to reach your goals. The
mm-hmm.
second thing you'll get out of this book is the certainty that you don't need to be perfect to have a successful, blissful, fulfilling life. The pursuit of perfection is permission to fail, plain and simple. I feel the same way about waiting until you know exactly what to do before starting, or waiting until you have all your ducks in a row. I mean, you'll always just have that one last thing that you need to learn, and then you'll be ready. It's an excuse to not begin, which ensures your failure by default. Mm-hmm. Also, not a good path to success. The third thing that you'll get from this book is a clear understanding of who you are and what you really want your life to look like, and, most importantly, the steps you need to take to make it happen. That is, if you do the action steps. And you can speed things up by taking advantage of the fast-track tips that are at the end of every key.
Yeah, those are brilliant, by the way, because you can just turn to those first and then read the rest of the chapter from the beginning, and almost reading it backwards, because it'll become more familiar to you. I think it's a pretty good technique I utilized, and I would recommend it to anybody. Did you do that on purpose?
I wrote the book, and then I had a conversation with someone that said, you know, I can see how a lot of the services you offer and the products you've created and a lot of things that have helped you, like Nightingale Conan and other things, really would help other people as resources. And I thought, you know, that's true. And I decided to go back and put a fast track item in every chapter. So I looked to see what is the biggest action that someone could take to move forward on this particular key, and whether it was something I offer, you know, something they should do, something they should get, whatever it is, I put it in there as, okay, I think this is the one thing that will propel you forward the quickest. So those were actually an afterthought.
Okay. And then the third thing?
That was the third thing. So
no,
the first thing was that you have to do the book, not read the book.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that you don't have to be perfect, just get started. And the third thing is that you're going to get a clear track to run on if you do the book.
Okay, now, before we continue, if you've just joined us, we are talking to Lynn Pierce. And the book that we're talking about is Breakthrough to Success, 19 Keys to Mastering Every Area of Your Life. I'm encouraging you to get 3 copies, one for yourself, one for a loved one or colleague, and one for someone who is just having a lot of resistance breaking through, and rather having you convince that person, you can have Lynn do it, because it's a lot easier if you just hand someone the book and say, here, read this, and I recommend that you do it. So go to Amazon.com. Get those 3 books, and one for yourself, one for a colleague, and one for someone who's really experiencing some resistance in your view, and let them read the book and see if it makes a difference. Okay, back to the questions. You've gotten a lot of questions from LynnPierceBookTour.com about the concept or the topic of balance, and that's a word, balance. It's a 7-letter word that eludes many of us, including me, and I'm sure it's eluded you every once in a while. Do you think that mastering these 19 keys will lead to a more balanced life? What's your view on that?
I actually believe that balance is a myth for the most part. It's something that I strived for quite a long time, and I'm trying to think back, what was the decade of balance? Was it the 80s or the 90s when everything was supposed to be in balance? I don't even really remember, but how can your life possibly be in balance? That would require that every area of your life, all the parts, be on the same level at all times. If you looked at it as all the parts of your life or all these 19 areas being spokes on a wheel, to be in balance, they all have to be at the same level at all times.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only not possible or practical, it's not something that anybody would want, because we all would look at those 19 areas and say, you know, right now that's not playing a big part in my life. That area of my life isn't really the most important. Right now I need to focus over here. So they're kind of in motion all the time, depending on what your goals and your priorities are, depending on what stage you're in your life and what's important to you right now. So it's constantly in a state of flux. So the only one that can really answer the question about mastery would be you. If you feel like you're where you want to be in each area of your life at this particular point in time, then you could say, yes, I have mastery over every area of my life. If not, you can do a visual check to see which areas you need to work on. But so if you look at balance in those terms, it is possible. I mean, for example, for almost 20 years, I lived and worked with the man in my life. So I had a hard rule of not taking work outside of the workplace. Actually, it was the ride to the we could talk about work on the ride to the restaurant, wherever we were going to have dinner that night, on the way home. Once we got to the door of the restaurant, that was our personal life.
Did you succeed in doing that? Because many people, you know, do that who work with their spouse or loved one, but then don't succeed in doing that sort of thing. Were you disciplined enough to do it?
Yeah, I think you know me well enough to know that I am not only determined, but have this little stubborn streak. So, yeah, you know, that was the deal inside that door, and that was it. And at that time, you know, we worked outside of the town we lived in, so we'd eat out all the time on the way home. So we'd have about half an hour ride to talk about work, and then that was it. That was the cutoff point, because otherwise I was not going to have any personal life. And I felt it was necessary to make that division, to not have work become all-consuming. So now fast forward another 10 years of my life, and what I do now, it's all about work, because my work is my passion. It's what excites me. It's what makes my heart sing. I love doing it. I don't consider it work. I do it because I love to do it. That's one of the keys to discovering your passion, is if you'd stand on a street corner and tell anybody that would listen to you, and mm-hmm. you'd do it for free. So that's what I do. So now when I go on vacation, I take my laptop, because my creativity is inspired, and I enjoy working either a little or a lot just about every day when I'm on vacation. And I do it because I want to, not because I have to. And it's gotten to a point where, you know, I used to go on vacation and take a stack of books. Now I look at what projects can I do while I'm on vacation, because I know I'm going to be in a creative space and I'm going to be having a good time and feeling relaxed and inspired, and that's what I choose to do rather than reading another book. It's my choice. That's the big difference. And now there are some times that I choose not to work at all and totally disconnect from the world. But because I do business with the same people that are my personal friends, which is another luxury you have when you consciously create your life, the line between business and pleasure is not only blurred, it doesn't really exist. And it's just a whole different point to live from when you're living your passion and that's how you spend your time. There is no separation or balancing your work life and your home life, because they're all kind of jumbled up into the same ball. So I understand, you know, people that have a 9-to-5 job and they have all these different parts that they play, that they are striving for balance, but I would suggest that they pull back from that and just look at how do I want to spend my time and what's the plan I need to put in place to make a larger degree of that happen right now, and what else can I do? What are the steps I can take to make more of that happen as quickly as possible?
That's a very good point. And for anyone who wants to continue to ask Lynn questions, you simply go to lynnpiercebooktour.com, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E, booktour.com. And that page has been up for quite some time. And here's another question from readers who want even a faster track. They asked, what are your top three keys, Lynn, of the 19? What are your top three, in your opinion?
Come on, Alex. That's kind of like asking someone which of their children is their favorite.
Or what's more important, your brain or your heart, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a much more accurate depiction of it. I can't just pull out three of the 19 keys because it doesn't work that way. But if I had to boil them all down to three steps, I would say that step one would be going inside and discover your passion. Or if you've been trying to do that and you go through the steps in the book and you're still having a hard time, get a mentor such as myself or someone else to help you discover your passion. One thing that will get you really clear is on page 14 where I talk about creating a personal manifesto. A personal manifesto is a series of statements that basically represent who you are, what you will stand for in your life, and what you won't stand for in your life, which really is a very important point. You have to know, what do I draw the line at? And so those things are covered in creating your personal manifesto. And that will become a document that you measure all of your other decisions by. It really helps you get clear very fast. And once again, it may seem simple. I've had students in the past when I've taught this in different courses that drag their feet about creating a personal manifesto. And then once they actually did it, absolutely raved about how simple it made their decisions and how they used it on a daily basis and were so glad they finally did it. But the whole part of this first part about going inside and discovering your passion, that kind of encompasses the first seven keys. That's how you get to that point. The next six keys get you to step two, which would be the part where you decide what the life of your dreams looks like. Not some fantasy island, because, you know, if people have any kind of picture of the life of their dreams, it may be sitting on a beach under an umbrella, maybe a Corona commercial, mm-hmm. Of the hammock and the beer, but is that real? You know, you've got to really get a grasp on, if this was my life tomorrow, what do I really, really, really want the life of my dreams to look like?
You know
every
what?
Single
what
a, part
repeat
of
that
it.
Question. That's a great, great question that I don't want it to go unnoticed. Go ahead and repeat it one more time so everyone can write it down.
Okay. You know, I say things off the top of my head, and then I usually don't remember what I just said. But you're talking about if this was your life tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. If the life of your dreams was going to be your life tomorrow, what do you really want that life to look like? This is a very difficult thing for a lot of people that I work with in my high-end mentoring program. I guess because I've been designing my life all the way along and it really has always seemed very simple to me, it still boggles my mind how many people have never even thought about where they want their life to go. I spent many of my years in sales, in timeshare and doing sales training in timeshare. And when I look at the planning that people do for a long weekend or a 1 or 2 week vacation, and the fact that the majority of people have never given anywhere close to that amount of thought to what they want their entire life to look like, it just seems ridiculous to me. But I've come to realize that a lot of people never felt like they had the option or permission to think about what they want out of their life. You know, I had one guy that I was working with, and he said, you know what, I've never thought about what I would do if I had a choice, if I could live my passion. I don't even know where to start to think about that. When I asked him to tell me what, you know, his perfect day would look like, it was, I would guess, about 95% of what his day is now. There were just some very small shifts, because that's as far as his mind could expand at that moment. He just wasn't in a place of self-discovery where he could go any further than that. His brain just couldn't do it. So it was a very slow process with him to give him permission to dream and really think about what he wanted out of his life. And it's just so sad that people don't do that. And I just think it's so important. And so for most people, it's either they have no idea at all, or it's the fantasy island thing. Mm-hmm. And I know from living in resort areas over the last 25 years that people really do have kind of a crazy idea of what the reality of living in a place they go on vacation would be. Mm-hmm. And they're usually pretty far off base. So I try to bring people back to reality and take them down that road to see, is this really going to work for you, or isn't it going to work? And it's surprising that when you get clear about what you want the life of your dreams to look like, there's huge parts of it that you can start living immediately just by tweaking little pieces of what you're doing now. It's amazing how much better your life can be in such a short period of time by simply identifying what it is that you're moving toward and how much of that can you have now. So creating that blueprint to start living as much of your dream life as possible from this point forward is definitely doable. It's incremental steps that you take, but first you've got to figure out where you want to go. Step three would be to build your business around your passion, if at all possible. If you absolutely have to stay in a 9-to-5 job for now, at least spend some time outside of your work hours focusing on enjoying your passion. But for the majority of people, I absolutely believe that there is a way for you to build your business around your passion. There just is. You know, until you go through the book, you'll have to take my word for it. Mm-hmm. But that should be your ultimate goal, is to have your entire life revolve around the thing that makes you happiest in the world. Because when you get clear on your passion, it's not an aha moment. It's one of those, how did I not always know this? Because it becomes as clear as knowing your own name. It is the most centering thing that will ever happen to you, because you know it all the way down to your soul. There is no question about anything when you truly discover your passion. So building your business, or building the rest of your life, if you don't care to have a business, around your passion is really the section that would be the final six keys. So if we had to squish it down into three, it would be in segments like that.
Well, that's an excellent answer for an
answer. So
that couldn't be answered, right?
The answer to what are your top three keys is that It would be those 19, just squished down into three stouts.
Well, another topic that keeps showing up over and over again with the international survey at LynnPierceBookTour.com is the different ways dealt with the aspects of procrastination and overwhelm. And in the information age, overwhelm is a big, big deal because there's just too much information. And procrastination really prevents people from getting stuff done. And so what would you advise people in reading the book to focus on or knowing what to focus on dealing with those two issues?
Well, you know, that's so common in one form or another, and it really comes disguised in so many different ways. And there's actually two parts to it from what I see. One is where people have that bright, shiny object syndrome. I was just talking to someone yesterday about this who's had a very successful coaching program, private, you know, practice, and now has discovered this whole new world of information products and different arenas to speak in, and everything looks good. And I'm like, focus, focus, focus. And I'm thinking, gee, do I remember somebody telling me this exact thing just a few years ago? So I certainly know how that feels of saying, oh, I could do that. I can talk about that. Yeah, I can go into that market and that market. And oh, yeah, this will easily translate over here. Let me help you with that and let me take part in this. And before you know it, you know, you haven't finished anything. You don't even know what you're doing because you're doing part of this and part of that. So the bright, shiny object syndrome is a huge thing. And then there's the other side of that same thing where people say, I am just interested in too many things, or I have so many talents I couldn't possibly pick or give any of them up. And what it really comes down to is that eventually you have to pick one thing to focus on. Otherwise, you'll never finish anything to the point where it becomes profitable. Or if it's not a business situation, you'll be perpetually in overwhelm because of unfinished business. And the other part of focus and also fear is taken care of by having a clear vision of where you want your passion to take you. Create your personal manifesto. I know some of these things appear to be really small, possibly insignificant steps, but they have a huge impact. So as soon as you have a purpose that's bigger than filling your bank account, something that involves helping others is the key. Not just you. It's got to be bigger than you. You'll have that drive to keep moving forward right through your fears and the determination to find the mentoring that you need to get focused and map out a step-by-step plan. That same passion will also reconfigure the way you spend your time and who you spend it with to the point that you can find time to do what you need to succeed. I mean, the bottom line is if you can't find the time, you don't have a big enough why, no matter what the story is that you're telling yourself. And I don't want to get hate mail from all the people that, you know, are overwhelmed in working very long hours in their jobs and a single parent and child care. And I know there are a lot of circumstances, but the fact is when you get aligned and your why is big enough, I guarantee you that things will shift in your life. You have to believe that it will happen, that the help you need will show up. The tools that you need will find their way to you. People will appear in your life to help you get where you need to go, not with handouts, but to help you fulfill what you're supposed to do because you're working towards something bigger than yourself. And when you're on purpose, everything aligns. That's how you can tell when you're on purpose. If you are living on purpose, you're not struggling through one roadblock after another. If you are struggling, then you might be on topic, but you're still slightly off course, or things would be flowing much better for you. So that's another little test to see where you're at.
Well, that's a great point, and that leads me to the big four-letter word that prevents almost everyone, if not everyone, getting what they want, fulfilling their dreams, and that is fear. Let's talk a little bit more about fear, since it's such a big stumbling block for so many people. I'm sure people who pick up the book and read it are fearful in some area of their life. On page 23, you talk about how successful people have no shame in failure and that they celebrate it and move forward. I have a colleague who always says, fail forward. Okay, do you think that's the hard point for some people to accept in reading this book or in facing their fears?
Absolutely. I think this is something that's real easy to give lip service to. And just because it's difficult, you know, doesn't mean that you can stay in that fear. There have been plenty of times in my life that I have wanted to stay in bed and pull the covers up over my head, or, you know, that I've given a talk at an event that I felt really wasn't as good as I would have liked it to have been. And, you know, I might feel a little embarrassment at the time, and then it's like, you know what, I wasn't 100% on today. Nobody is perfect 100% of the time. Let's just move on. I mean, you really have no other choice. You can't crawl in bed and never come out. That's really not an option. So one of the action steps with that key on page 22, as a matter of fact, is an exercise to banish fear from your life. And I know that everybody's heard the acronym for fear being, you know, nothing but false evidence appearing real. But when was the last time that you really paid attention to what that's saying? False evidence appearing real. Do you know that 95% of all fears never happen? I mean, that's a lot of worrying over nothing. So I devise this exercise for you to eliminate those fears, and when you go through that exercise, you'll see how all that works. It's kind of much to explain here, but it really is an easy exercise to do, and by the time you do it, you'll go, what in the world was I worrying about that for?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all about action steps, and the exercises are action steps in the book, and on page 4, you have an action step asking the reader to write down what they'll do with the extra time that they have and create in their life. Now, explain how I get another 9 weeks of time into the year. How do you do it, and how can I do it?
I don't know, Alex. I was just thinking that it seems to me that we're discussing all the points, at least in the first half of the book, that people are going to have a problem with. They're going to go, well, I don't know what she's talking about because I don't believe that for a minute. This might be another one of those. Not having any time is really an illusion, although it's one of my favorite excuses to use because people are so understanding when you say, I don't have enough time. But the fact is, time can be manipulated in a positive way very easily. And on page 1 of the book, I talk about how most really successful people that I know or have studied start their day with an hour of either spiritual reading, meditation, yoga. That may shock you. I know a lot of people are going, is she crazy? I don't have enough time now. Where am I going to get an extra hour? But when you incorporate this practice into your day, believe it or not, try it for at least a month. And you'll find that you have more energy to get up an hour earlier or stay up an hour later. And a side benefit is that you're more focused during the day. So you get more out of the time that you spend. And what would you do with another 9 weeks a year? Because that's what an hour a day adds up to, 9 work weeks a year. Now, for me, I'd like to figure out how to put them all together and just take another vacation.
You bet. I mean, you live in a vacation town, basically. You live in a resort time. So you're constantly, you know, in resort mode, but you like to go outside to go Hawaii or wherever else, right?
Yeah, I travel all over the world, and I travel as often as possible, and I try to arrange a lot of the work I do with part of it being travel because I just like to go.
Mm-hmm. So those extra 9 weeks into the year, in creating those, the page four, the action step, will help out, correct? And then the whole book is all based on how to make the time more efficient and break through to success so that you have more free time on your hands. Isn't that what your message is, really?
Yeah, and there are many other ways of adding time to your life in the book, but this is probably the one that will be a challenge for most people. So I'm glad you brought that up because I can hear all the voices in my head saying, I do not have another hour. Was she not listening when I said that I was already in overwhelm?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds crazy, but this is a way out of overwhelm. Just try it for 30 days, and I would be shocked if you didn't want to keep doing it after the first 30 days.
Well, we have 300 seconds left, which is 5 minutes, and I want to end with what could be considered the most important key to success, number 7, have a passion that drives you. You mentioned all 19 are equally important. There would be a 19-way tie for first place, but this key is exceptionally important. You mentioned it earlier that passion, the passion that drives us is extremely important. It's number 7. On page 63, you tie this into the topic that I know strikes fear in many people, and being diagnosed with breast cancer. Why did you choose to talk about this? Because for women, many will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year, and I've raised funds for the Susan G. Komen Foundation, you know, for that very cause, and it's a very common disease, and many women will have to face this. Why did you choose to bring that up? And by the way, for anyone listening, whether you're man or woman, we've only had time to cover less than half of the book. So get 3 copies of the book at Amazon.com. Again, Breakthrough to Success, these 19 keys, you want to put all of them into your hands, into the loved one or a colleague's hands, and then one into the hands of someone who you feel is just having a lot of resistance breaking through. Let Lynn convince them. You don't have to do it anymore. Just hand them the book. It's very, very low cost to do that. For, you know, less than $60, you can have 3 copies, and it can be a lifetime worth of breakthroughs that you can study over and over and over again. But let's go back to number 7 on page 63. Let's talk about that specifically, because it's an apparent, it's not an epidemic of sorts, but it is a big, big problem. And why did you choose to be talking about breast cancer?
Well, you know, this key is probably the one that's most important to me because I think this is what success really hinges on. So helping people discover their passion and create their life around it is my passion, so this is huge for me. And you're right, it was a conscious choice to talk about it because I could have easily covered this point and even told the story in a different way to not discuss what really is a very personal situation. But the reason that I did is that I believe that the universe is always trying to guide you in the right direction, to help you find your passion and life purpose. Sometimes we're listening and sometimes we need to be poked and prodded. And I like to think of it as someone throwing little pebbles at your window to get your attention. And then if you still don't listen, they throw a little bigger rocks. And then if you're really stubborn, finally, a big boulder comes rolling down the hill and knocks you over. Mm-hmm. And when I got knocked over, my immediate response was, okay, I guess I wasn't listening, but I promise you from this day forward, I am totally listening. And I want to help people recognize their path and be fully in tune with what they want their life to look like without having something as tragic as this, as a catalyst, because it certainly will set you straight in an instant. But I believe there's a whole lot more pleasant ways to get there. And you must have a passion that drives you for you to experience a breakthrough to success. Because part of being successful is being happy and fulfilled. And how can you be either of those things if you're doing something you don't really care about one way or the other? It just is impossible. I mean, a passion that drives you is what gets you out of bed in the morning. It's what makes you unstoppable when challenges come up. It's what makes you go so far outside your comfort zone you can't even see the old edges anymore. And it's what makes you feel alive and vibrant and attractive to the abundance of the universe. You know, all the buzz about the secret, there is no secret. If you discover your passion and life purpose and you create a compelling vision for your life with a step-by-step plan to make it reality, you are so congruent and in alignment from the core of your being that the universe works with you to make it a reality. And I said works with you because you have to be the one doing the work. Then others will join in to help. In reality, having a passion that drives you, fueled by the knowledge you get from the other 18 keys and the life plan they form together, gives you the tools you need to make your dreams reality and achieve your own breakthrough to success.
Wow. That was amazing, Lynn. Thank you. Final comments before we say goodbye to everybody.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like an evangelist, but I can feel my body tingling. That is, I'm sitting here moving. I talk with my arms. I should be on video. But that's how strongly I feel about this point. It is so, so important. It's the key to everything in life. So don't ignore it. Don't tell yourself that you don't deserve to live your passion, that you don't deserve to live the life of your dreams, because you do. And as soon as you believe that and you own it, a way for you to make it happen will show up.
Well, we've been speaking to, and she has been explaining to us, the breakthroughs to success. We're talking to Lynn Pierce, author of the Destined bestseller, 19 Keys, 19 Keys. Mastering every area of your life. Lynn, thank you. And we hope you go to Amazon and pick up 3 books. Again, one for yourself, one for a colleague or loved one, and one for someone who is struggling with breaking through every area of their life. Let Lynn do it for you, and what a great gift to give. My name is Alex Mondosian, and this concludes the virtual book tour for Breakthrough to Success. I encourage you to go back and listen to this again and again, and use it as a study guide for yourself as you read the book, because we haven't even covered half of the content in the book. That's how much this book is filled with breakthroughs, 19 keys to mastering every area of your life. Thank you, and we hope our paths cross again soon.
Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome. Have a great day.